Hey guys, welcome back to the IkeCast. This is Chris, and I'm with my co-host, as always, Ike.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us. How are you this fine day?
Yeah, I mean, just all things in general this day and this week have been pretty chill. You know, nothing serious. You know, things are generally around the world getting a little bit cooler. A few little outbursts in Congress, which are always interesting.
Okay, yeah, so before we start with the outbursts in Congress, you know the stuff that's going on in Arizona, right? The Arizona Republicans are...
The recount?
The recount. Well, the audit that's being done by a third party, right? And not even a, you know, nonpartisan third party, but a partisan third party. Well, apparently, Chris, I don't know if you've heard this, but because of the audit that's being done, the voting machines that were used, they need to replace them all.
Wait a minute. So, like they can't be used again?
They can't be used again. Yeah, that's one of the newest things that are coming out of Arizona. It's a bit of a crazy story because I think it's sort of under the radar, right? And it hasn't gotten a whole lot of, I think, intent, but or a lot of coverage. But looks like that the GOP, the auditors that were selected by the Arizona GOP, they may have destroyed data. They may have compromised the voting machines in their audit. So what Arizona did was, or the Secretary of State, the voting machines were turned over to private companies as part of their audit. So the voting machines got into the control of a third party, so they're no longer safe for use in future elections, right? Because now they don't have... It's like, you know, criminal investigation, right? When it comes to evidence, they want to make sure that there's no corruption.
So yeah, with the evidence, the chain of custody is broken. Right, they're like, exactly. Screw it, so, we can't. Yeah.
Right. So the chain of custody here is broken because they've gave these auditors, this private company, access to those machines without oversight, I believe. So there's now significant security concerns about the chain of custody over this equipment. Okay, and when there's question of chain of custody, you have to replace it. Because the integrity then...
Yeah, so these are voting machines. The integrity is the most important thing.
Right. So if you think about it, right, on a larger scale, so this investigation or this audit was done to try to overcome that, you know, the results that Biden had won in that state. And in doing that, they've compromised the integrity of future elections. And so those machines that were not in their control have to be replaced. And it's a significant number. I mean, it's not a couple hundred thousand that they have to spend to replace. I think they're going to have to spend millions to replace and recertify the election machines. And I don't think they even know how much it's going to cost them. But one of the most expensive election equipment was $6.1 million, and that was with Dominion. So think about it. They might have a price tag of $6 million that's going to be put on the shoulders of taxpayers who are already, you know, feeling the impact, economic impact because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
No, but it's very clear. Like this fishing expedition, this, you know, another look at Arizona, because Arizona was a big upset for them. I mean, it was indicative of the previous Senate win, you know, in the 2018 election, right? But in 2020, right, with the state flipping like that, it was news to them, right? Florida,
right?
You know, Florida is going the way that they want it to. It's definitely entrenching more Republican, while other states are changing. But no, the Arizona push was disgraceful. It was shameful, right? And now what they've done is they've built themselves an out by going like, oh, you see this, but this Republicans will do this, right? Very, very cleverly. They'll say, you see, there was always a problem, right? When they caused the problem.
You know? That's the incredible thing is, like, it's, you know, controlled by the Republicans, right? And it wasn't a nonpartisan oversight. And it's still, how many counts did Arizona go through and the results didn't change?
Yeah, well, it's indicative of these people, right? They're looking, they're fishing, and they're looking for anything that will justify their behavior, justify their opinion, justify what they want reality to be. And for them, right, the big thing is that, you know, they feel that the election was stolen.
Right. And then, you know, to cap it off, you've got Geitz and Taylor Greene coming to Arizona with their, I think, America First, you know, train, and continuing to, you know, spread that big lie. Geitz, who's under investigation, which we've talked about, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has been known to be a QAnon supporter.
Yeah.
It's... and gets a lot of her information from them. But, I think it was interesting, and that ties into what happened January 6th, because that's all, you know, precipitated by, incited as a result of the big lie that had been taking place since the election, January 6th, we have an insurrection, and they're trying to do a commission very similar to 9/11, to understand what happened, where it went wrong, and what can we do so to ensure this doesn't happen again. And, you know, McCarthy comes out and says, no, Republicans are not going to vote for it. I've already been clear where my position is. And then McConnell has said the same thing, where Republicans are not going to vote for it in the Senate. It did pass. The commission did pass in the House, and 35 Republicans crossed over. So it is a partisan. I can hear you crunch.
Sorry, popcorn. Sorry, but that's what I'm feeling, because what you were talking about, the aftermath of Tim Ryan, was it Paul Ryan? Tim Ryan.
It was Tim Ryan. Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House during, Republican Speaker of the House during the Trump administration, initial Trump administration. You're talking about Tim Ryan. He's a Democrat from Ohio. And he got up after the vote, was like, you know what? I think it fell on deaf ears, because if they really wanted to know, there would have been more votes. But he got up and said, you know what? You guys spent years and thousands and millions, not thousands, millions of dollars hounding Hillary Clinton, the then secretary and the former secretary of state, over Benghazi. We have here in the U.S., on U.S. soil, you know, right here in D.C., in this house, we have an attack. There's an insurrection trying to overthrow and impede our, you know, the democratic responsibilities, the constitutional responsibilities we have. And you guys don't want to investigate. What the hell is wrong with you people? Yeah. I mean, he was a lot more eloquent than me. Yeah, it's paraphrasing. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, guys, here. But crazy insane.
Like, absolutely.
Right? Like, how can... It's... To me, it does floor me, because, you know, it continues to show the hypocrisy of the Republicans. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's very clear the Republicans have one single goal in mind, right? And it's they're always good at power. The maintaining of and continual, you know, acquisition of power, right? And they're maintaining it. My issue is that they're maintaining it at the cost of everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? The GOP is continuing to try to downplay what happened on January 6th. I don't think it should ever be forgotten.
Absolutely. This is the thing to rest your head on, right? The thing to constantly push back and go like, remember this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was an insurrection. Insurrection that we all were party to and witness.
Yeah. We spoke about it. I woke up. I wasn't feeling well that day. I woke up to, the country going to hell in a handbasket. I had no idea what was going on and how could this have happened.
It was a terrifying moment.
The Republicans are trying to escape what happened on January 6th and their complicity within it, and the events leading up to it, but they can't. They can't escape it. They can't run from it. They need to.
Own up to it, yeah.
Yeah, they do. They need to own up to it. Yeah, this is what happened. This shouldn't have happened. This is how we're, and what we need to do, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah. No, it's just it to me it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And Chris, I mean, I get like really, I get really pissed and I get really upset whenever I hear it because I just don't like get it. Like, how can you guys do this? Like, how can you guys like legitimately like think there's no issue?
Well, someone out there does, and it's problematic to say the least.
Yeah. And here's a crazy thing. This is a crazy thing. Some of their defense is that the defense lawyers are saying they had foxitis and they were brainwashed for like 3 years. That's their defense, is that there was a brainwashing, and my clients, succumbed to it because of Fox News, which they call foxitis, and and
Interesting
the constant
lawyers sort
lies.
of rock
Yeah,
bottoms.
it really is, because it's like a complete, and that's what the
Twinkie defense all over, right?
right, like, wow. But are we surprised? No,
Not at
I
all.
guess not. Yeah, I guess not. And that's to me, that's been a crazy thing. And on the Democrat side, there is they are pushing back. But Chris, you have said it so many times. It's like, the Democrats, say, oh, but we're going to be the gentlemen's, or we're going to be the nice ones in this fight. You can't be nice when you're fighting for the heart of the country,
Very much so.
the soul of the country, right? Like, I just don't get it.
No, you can't be this weird, nice figure. And when defending your ideas, when trying to do what you think is best, you should, pursue it with the same zeal as, your political rivals. And we don't see that from the Democrats. We don't see an actual opposition. In fact, we see a lot of similar, belief systems, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes, I agree with you. There is a lot of work to be done.
But I think it can be done, and I think that we are in a good place to do it. All
I'm
right.
hearing something in the back.
Yeah, that was my phone going off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But all that being said, just the Tim Ryan explosion, all of it, I understand. I get it. Like his, what like at The question is always, what's the line, right? What's the
Right.
line where they're like, yes, okay, this is fine. Nope, this is
Right.
not fine.
Right. But Chris, doesn't it seem like we're constantly asking that question? Like, don't you like get tired of?
Oh,
I know I do.
absolutely.
It's
I
like,
absolutely
really,
get
now
tired of
we're
it.
gonna. Now we're going to. And now we're gonna do it. And the thing is, when the shoe's on the other foot, it's like, Democrats still capitulate.
It's a definitely a problem with the Democrats in that they play either on good faith, right? They play on good faith arguments. They cater to, you know, they're not their base. They just they cater to this idea that they're better, but they're not willing to do anything of substantive value that goes against, you know, like the rising of that's worship.
Right.
That's my issue with it. You know, there's a definite, like, you know, lack of a real momentum within the Democratic Party, right? Mm-hmm. To really, you know, handle issues in a direct and yeah. efficient way, right? To really, you know, uphold their beliefs, right? And everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't have it. And I wish they did, right? I wish there was actual, like, strong, good, you know, political opposition, right?
Right.
Right. Instead, you know, and instead you got just one side crazy, the other side possibly crazier.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they're like the Biden, everything Biden's been doing, right, is generally been good, but suffering so severely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just there's too much.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, and all of this, you know, in the background is the pandemic and us all trying to get back to some sort of normalization, right? And with the vaccinations happening, there's, you know, certain states there's certain states that are, you know, doing really well in terms of vaccinations. I think New Jersey is one of those states that's doing pretty well. You know, they've vaccinated, I think, over 8 million for the at least the first dose. And of the second dose, you know, hit over 4 million. So that's, you know, 50% of everybody who'd been vaccinated the first time around, which is pretty good in terms of, you know, the vaccination record and stuff. And that means that, you know, the state is looking at opening up. I know that there was an alert the other day that they're going to open up indoor dining completely. Or that they'll be opening up more and more of the indoor dining, which is great news for restaurants. But the flip side to it is restaurants are having a hard time finding, getting their employees to come back. And a large part of that is they're getting more in unemployment than they would when they were working at the restaurant, right? So I think there's a reckoning when it comes to the workforce.
Yeah, the workforce.
Things have changed. It's changed.
You know, the workforce is not going to take the same shit as it did before. You know, these people, right, are making better doing nothing, right? They're getting paid better by the government than they ever did, you know, in general. So no, I absolutely understand there, not just what they're doing, but why they're doing it. And it's one of those important things, I think.
Well, I think, so that's the other thing is there's the more and more states, and a lot of them are the Republican, governed states. They're either starting to discontinue unemployment or they're starting to reduce it.
Yeah, it's sort of trying to force them back to work.
Right. Or what they're doing is they're trying to, they're trying to force them back into it. But, you know, by decreasing the number of what your coverage is going to be, yeah, it's going to drive it. But, and we've discussed this as well. People need to have a livable wage, and you can't get it under, you know, the minimum wage, current minimum wages in some of the states.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
No, there needs to be a living wage. There needs to be a general idea because, you know, I do agree with the sentiment. If you work 40 hours a week, you need to be able to sustain yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just that simple. And so, I understand it completely. I mean, there's a story of an ice cream shop that offered the $15 minimum wage and got over 2,000 applications, right?
Right.
You know, it's people want better wages, right? And they're willing to push for it. And it's a layup for this administration to push through. But you have people like Manchin. You don't have the strength of Biden. Do you know what was great about Trump is that he went and, like, took the knees out of his own party, right? If they weren't willing to play ball. And now the party became him.
Right.
Right? Meanwhile,
well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, he'll capitulate to, like, Manchin.
So, I'm not sure how it is in Canada, so maybe you can, because I've been away for so long. So I'm not completely familiar with labor laws there and minimum wage, but so here in the States, right, we've got the federal minimum wage and then we have the state. And the federal is the minimum that's required, but what's going to control, if the state is higher than the federal, then the state is what's going to control, right? So I think most states, their minimum wage is much higher than the federal. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That's crazy in terms of minimum wage, right?
It hasn't had any increase in forever.
No, it hasn't. Now, New Jersey, and I can talk about New Jersey because I live in the state, but New Jersey has increased its minimum wage. It's not 15, but it still has, right? And it's interesting to see how, so New Jersey 2020 was 11, 2021 is 12, and I believe it continues to increase. But if the, I know there's, you know, proposal to make the national minimum wage 15. And so it's a two-prong issue, right? So you need to increase the minimum wage so that one has livable wages. Because keep in mind, you know what, expenses have been going up. Cost of living has been going up, but wages have not been going up. They should have been going up with it. At least the cost of inflation, I don't think it even does that. And I don't even think the cost of inflation is keeping up with actual, like, increases in terms of cost of living.
Oh, no, I believe that completely.
Yeah. So it does need to be. So as a small business, right, it's, there, small businesses are having a hard time finding employees. So even if you're going to be opening up, finding somebody to work for you is becoming difficult. As you mentioned, you know, there was a pizzeria, was it, that had, had a position opening and they said the minimum wage there was 15. Right. And yet they had like a huge, huge number of, applications of interest in that. So that should show you that, you know, businesses need to become more competitive. And I think one of the reasons why the wages have been low is because everybody was paying at that low wage, right? So if you sort of rise the sea, everybody rises with it. Yeah. Right, the boats on it will rise with it, and I think that's that hasn't been what's been happening. So it does need to happen, but with the pandemic ending, and more businesses opening up, the challenge is going to be how do they attract those workers? And it's sort of, you know, as a small business, Chris, it's a catch 22, right? Because you need the employees to help you with your production, but if you can't get the, but in order for you to do that, you need to get the work in or the orders in. And so it's sort of like you go into like this circle.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. It's a very complicated issue, but the general thing is that, you know, during this time, right, in this pandemic, we've seen, you know, a lot of people, right, you know, lose a lot of their wages. Yeah. And what has been done to alleviate that for them, right? We have, you know, absolute freaking billionaires just wrecking shop. Right?
Right.
And like that's the state of affairs that we're in, right? Is that, you know, there's actual billionaires out there who are, you know, who are doing well, who are you know, just wrecking shop. There's nothing else to be said about it, right?
Right.
And you know, they're making their money, and at the same time we have this pandemic thing where tons of people, no one's making money. Everyone is being subject to you know, how is it that, you know, the rich got richer, right? When everyone had to, you know, when everyone had to scrimp and save. It's because they started doing something smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They gamed the system that we were in, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, the support that Americans needed, they did not get, right? The support that they did get was inadequate at best.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's where we're at.
Right. Well, here's another, so, you know, a lot of jobs are in the service industry, right? In the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
Right? And so, here's something. So, you know, servers within a restaurant, they make their money from tips.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a minimum wage. Like, think about this, right? And there's it's not even a consistency.
Yeah, but where is their wage consistency when now that they have to also make money in tips, right?
Right. And you know what? And you don't know, and you're, you know, as a server, you're really hostage to the people that you're serving, right? Yeah. The tables that have been assigned to you. Like, just to give you an idea, like some states for hospitality or for tipped, you know, positions, the wage is as low as $2.55.
Yeah, no, that's insane. But like, that's a reality.
What? Right. And I know in Europe, it's you get what the minimum, you know, there's a set minimum wage for the hospitality industry, depending on the positions and stuff like that. And they don't really do tips. Yeah. Although, you know, as North Americans, you know, we go travel over to Europe, we see more and more of that tip happening because we bring our, you know, what we do here, there. But I remember when I first visited, you know, and my sister had moved there for school, and I was like, okay, well, we got to leave it. And she's like, no, we don't. I'm like, yes, we do. How can you not? It was good service. And she's like, no, this isn't here. Like, yeah, they don't tip here. And if you do, then it becomes an expectation for all of us who live here. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, oh my God, they don't.
No,
she's like, no, they're making a salary. They're making that, they're making, you know, they're not making the $2 or £2. They're making what the minimum wage is at least.
Yeah, an actual salary.
Yeah. Right? So I don't understand how, you know, why we possibly can't do something similar to that.
No, I do see it as incredibly valuable, so. Yeah, absolutely. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, but so circling back to, we are seeing things opening up, but we have no, you know, we don't know how this is going. You know, the labor market, I think, is now becoming challenging. You know, last year it was an employer's market. This year, I think it's going to be an employee's market.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, like, I think that people now truly value their time, their effort, their everything about, like, you know, what they need to do, right?
Right. But at some point, Chris, I do think that unemployment needs to go away.
Well, I'm in absolute agreement.
Because this is, like, crazy. And there's some states that don't even have a minimum wage.
Yeah, the minimum wage is an important thing, and I absolutely agree. As time goes on, I think we're going to see, like, what Jesse Ventura, you know, remarked about, you know, as a maximum wage.
Yeah.
Right? Of, you know, what the maximum, you know, someone should theoretically, you know, be earning. You know, like, I think he posited at $1 million a month, and if you couldn't figure out what to do with that, then, you know, he has nothing for you. Right?
Right.
The reality is that, yeah, people's labor is worth something. And, you know, if a pandemic and the very fact that, hey, listen, all these people that have been forced to work because we call them essential.
Yeah.
Right? If they're so essential, why aren't they making that much? Right?
Right.
Like, it's all been put into perspective. And that perspective is now like, hey, why don't we get more? We deserve more. And I can't disagree with them. Right? You know, they're essential, aren't they? We're calling them essential workers.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We are. And I'm sorry, I had a train of thought, right? And I'm not sure if that train of thought is going to flow into your train of thought. But, you know, we hear a lot of, there's a labor shortage, right? Or there isn't enough labor. And the issue isn't that there's a labor shortage. There is enough individuals for the positions that are available. But the issue is wages are historically low and price of goods have gone up exponentially because of shortages due to the pandemic. So it's like one of those like self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing, right?
And yeah, it's a mixture like I said, of historically low wages
yeah.
on top of unique inflation.
Yes, right. Which is resulting in more people saying, fuck it, I'm going to just continue to stay on unemployment.
And more power to them. I mean, why should they go back?
Yeah. So I think this is the first time this has happened here where we have, Canada has this, right? They have, you know, for children under the age of 18, they get a subsidy, right?
Yeah.
A tax benefit, right? Well, but it's an actual check that comes to parents for their kids, right?
Yeah, more often than not, in your tax return, you get this huge thing added to it.
Right. So, okay, yes, you get this. So you get the child credit. That's here too. But Chris, I also know that parents. Depending on the income level of the families, I think there Canada also gives a child benefit on a monthly or quarterly basis.
I can't be sure, mainly because I don't have a kid. But
that's okay. You don't need to. Unless they've like completely like you know what you know done away with it. I'm not thinking, but. You know, the Biden administration has created something similar to that. For the first time, I think, in U.S. history, we're having also it's called the American Families Plan, where, you know, each child, families will get credit for, will get a check for each child that they have. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I remember the Biden administration doing something on that, which was very good.
Yeah, and, so I think...
Doesn't it sunset around the next thing, though, doesn't it?
What, the next budget?
Election.
Possibly, yes. I haven't looked into, like, the details of when it's going to sunset or not. But, the plan itself, I think it's $1.7 trillion. It's the plan would allow for 4 years of free education. It would provide direct support to children and families. That's where they get that check. The tax cuts are extended for families with children. So there's a number of these that are being proposed. It's a universal preschool for all 3 and 4 year olds. So I think it's also that, you know what, and that this is preschool again is part of that child care challenge, right, for parents as well. So it's either a wage issue or parents don't have anybody to take care of their children, so they've got a child care issue. Because, again, some of these facilities are still closed.
Yeah, it's problematic, yeah.
Yeah. So, the and I think it's they're and of course they're going to be offering 2 years of free community college to Americans. There's I think there's probably a, there's got to be a criterion for it, but I mean they are looking at providing these. I actually agree with the a lot of the spending here because I think providing free tuition for
Yes, spending on
associate
education
degrees,
is incredibly
yeah, it's
important.
so important because you know what? It ensures that you've got what a informed population, right?
Yeah.
Citizenry, which helps them to make informed decisions.
Yeah, education is incredibly important. So
Yeah.
I wouldn't all that kind of spending is incredible is a necessity.
Yeah. So if you have not, check out the American Families Plan. There's a fact sheet on it, issued by the or released by the with the White House. I think it's a really interesting read in terms of how to build a stronger economy, build back a better, strong America after the year that we've had.
Yeah, after this year, absolutely everything is on the table.
Right. And then we've been hearing a lot about mental issues,
Yeah,
mental health, right?
yeah, for the most non-disingenuous mental health sort of story there was. Yeah, what can I
So,
say? I want you
you're
to.
very, no, you're very succinct at it, Chris. I want you to talk
Okay,
about
so
it.
yeah, rich, incredibly rich royal, is pissed off that, the First Amendment means that, tabloids can, trick people into to getting into stuff and whatever. It's like, dude, grow up. It's like you're, what can I say? These royals, man, the amount of entitlement that they think that they have.
Yeah, but right. I do think that they think they've had this entitlement and they're above this, and you know what? And because because of their birth, they're experts on mental health and toxic behavior and, and neglect and all of that stuff.
Touche.
but yeah. So this week, what happened was there's several things that happened actually that are all related, interrelated. So there was a commission on an interview. It was a Panorama interview 25 years ago with Diana, Princess of Wales, right? And that interview had like a ricochet effect, so to speak, in terms of the fallout from it. And it's turned out there was a commission that was set up to investigate it because I guess there was a whistleblower who said that in order to get her to do the interview, there was a lot of lying and cheating and documentation that had been put together, their fraudulent documentation put together to get her into a mindset where she thought that she was, she couldn't trust anybody because the documentation was fabricated to show that her aides who had been, looking after her interests, they were actually selling her stories. Close family friends were selling, were receiving money for, information about her. So she, they took a, and I think she already began with, having a fragile mindset just because she was a 19-year-old, right? She's a 19-year-old, marries into this family and sort of gets thrown in. But the reporter or, to get the interview fabricated all of these things, which perpetuated a sense of paranoia and fear and isolation. And she does this interview, and the interview was, it was, it was seismic for the monarchy at that time, resulted in an immediate, you know, okay, you guys need to divorce. And as a result of that, her security, she let go of her security that she used to get, you know, and there's a lot of things that, you know, you can probably make a correlation, cause and effect, to her death, right? But the commission that was, commission issued its report, and it said, yeah, he did this. This resulted in, you know, this resulted in a interview that shouldn't have happened. And the management of the BBC, because it was a BBC program, management of the BBC, they were complicit. Like they became aware of it and allowed it to happen, right? So the question of, you know, the freedom of press, which is what Harry is talking about. He says, you know, our First Amendment here in the U.S. is bonkers. First of all, shut up. Okay. But two, here's the thing is, you know, there's a difference between freedom of press where you have legitimate journalism and you have tabloid fodder, right? And a lot of the stuff that goes on, I think, in the UK is a lot of tabloid fodder.
Yeah, the UK
we have
is
it here.
With that, you know, gross, disgusting tabloid stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we have tabloids here too, right? And we had the National Enquirer. I don't even know the other tabloids, but I would think even People's is considered, to me, in my opinion, a tabloid. It's a, you know, S magazine. I mean, these are all, they all, you know, use these paparazzi type of articles and stuff like that to sell, right?
Yeah.
And TMZ, that's tabloid. I mean, it's not that we don't have it here, but we do. There's freedom of, you know, freedom of press does allow for that, right? But I mean, to say that freedom of press is bonkers here in the US, I'm just like, dude, if you don't like it here, you're free to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very important thing to remember, is that you are not a citizen of this country. He might have achieved it through his wife, but nevertheless.
I can tell you, no. Knowing how long it takes to get citizenship, even if he got it through his wife, it would still take him another 2 years. So, yeah, I don't think so. And if you become a U.S. citizen, guess what? You have to renounce all your titles.
Yeah, and that's something I don't
You specifically do. Have to renounce
yeah,
all
it's
your titles.
It's part of the Constitution.
Part of the Constitution. Part of the naturalization application.
So, yeah, no, it makes absolutely perfect sense.
Right? It's, yeah, I mean, if he wasn't, you know, Prince Harry, and if he wasn't the son of Princess Diana, nobody would care.
Yeah, no, his, you know, what can I say? The more and more that they do their stuff, the more and more I think it's like, yeah, they're just afraid of going into irrelevancy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, because, you know, before they had the platform, right, of a monarchy, you don't have that, so you have to stay relevant. How do you stay relevant? Well, you say, you know, that I had mental health issues and nobody helped me. I had drug abuse issues and nobody helped me, which I don't know. I think if that's incorrect. I think his dad did take him to therapy. I think he was, what did they call those detox centers, Chris?
Rehab?
Yeah. I think he was sent to rehab.
Yeah. So, you know, what can I say? I don't have a lot of sympathy for these individuals, especially because, the, you know, the rest of us have to deal in this world normally.
Yeah. I mean, he was upset that, you know, his father didn't give him money for his security. Well, dude, you had like $30-40 million to begin with. Like, not everybody does that, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. I know I don't have $40 million.
Exactly. It very much is an aspect of just these people and the way that they see the world and how much, you know, they think it should really be more akin to what they want it to be. I have no sympathy for this at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either, because you know what? A lot of us are dealing with real world issues, and we all have mental health issues. You're not alone in this, right? And your issues, because you know, I think mental health is very specific to individuals, right? And their experiences. So, I mean, I know my experiences and how they may act as triggers for me that I would need to deal with. Same with you, and same with anybody else who's listening to us, right? Any of our listenership. I mean, we all have to take care of ourselves. One of the biggest things is recognizing that you may need, if you can't do it on your own, you may need professional therapy or professional help for it, right? But I find it's not, even with that professional help, I'm skeptical about it just because I don't think I've ever like experienced good professional help when it comes to mental health
It's one of the first
personally.
hard things to deal with. All in all, what can I say? It's just the Prince Harry stuff is just annoying, right? It's one of those things like what you're just constantly doing stuff to keep yourself in the news, right? You get yelled at by Fox News because of your weird ass opinions.
And but that works with your narrative too. Look how we're being attacked by the right wing. And I'm not a Fox News supporter, okay? I'm not a Fox News supporter, but that's what comes out of it, right? I think Oprah Winfrey said, you know, that oh, privacy doesn't mean that you have to be silent. Right, it doesn't. But when you open yourself, have the expectation that people are going to question it because there's enough documentation. You've lived a life, and you know, you've lived a pretty public life that you know, if one wants to dig into it, they can find the information that can question the veracity of what you're saying. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword that they have to deal with,
Right.
there,
And
so.
you know, so you've got freedom of speech for yourself and your expression, but but First Amendment is bonkers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, what can I say? These guys just have these weird opinions, and yeah, I don't want no part of it. Let's get out of this, and let's get out of
I can
our
tell you're
tangent.
totally engaged, Chris. You're
Yeah, no, I'm just out of it.
totally
I'm just out of that conversation, right? I don't really see the point of it.
No, I agree with you. To the extent that I, you know what, mental health is important. You need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, but these aren't
and
the brand
a
ambassadors
freed.
for it.
No, they're not. Absolutely not. And I would say that, you know, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, fundamental rights that need to continue to be protected from, you know, assholes who think not so much.
Yeah, I agree.
And on that note, we're going to go to what? Our happy place.
Yeah, let's get to the happy place.
So, what are we going to talk about today, Chris?
Well, do you want? I would have normally talked about the show that we needed to talk about, which was crap. Why am I losing it?
Was that Nevers?
No, Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, right. Okay, right. So, well, let's spend a quick 5 minutes on it because I think that's all it's going to need
Yeah, I didn't like
from
it.
us.
There you go, I'm done. Yeah, this second season, it's missing so much. So much of definitely what they need that
So,
first season for.
did you have one that you liked out of like potentially
No.
to have like no? Okay, so I
There was
do
no
have one.
werewolf. There was no werewolves episode. There was no Beyond the Killer Rift. There was no episodes that really got me. Like, oh, that was the one.
Right. So the one that I found funny, I don't know if it got me, but I thought it was funny, was the robot one.
Oh, the killer robot, yeah,
The
episode
killer
one.
robot, that was hilarious. I died laughing. I've got a weird sense of humor, guys. And in that one, it's a robot that's, you know, does everything and it starts malfunctioning
Yeah,
and
goddamn
the
evil
owner
Oombas.
tries right tries to reset it, and resetting it, she puts on its kill or intruder alert and kill mode. So she's like, she's trying to escape it, right? And she's on customer service and they're telling her what to do. And first the robot like almost skins alive her dog, right? And then it laser beams her and her side of her hair is gone. I mean, I just thought it was hilarious. It was the funniest thing. And it's reflective of the customer service because the customer service is like, we can send you a new one or reset it for, you know, $5,000. And she's like, forget it.
Yeah.
No. So basically it was like, you know what, we'll give you something that you can mess up and your only solution is to buy a new one. So much more expensive, sort of like Apple.
Yeah, right, the very Apple mentality.
Right. But at a larger scale because it was a killer robot. I thought it was hilarious. I guess no?
It was okay. It was one of those things that I was just like, man, I remember when the show was like all of this, right? It was all this and a brick of cheese. Just like, yeah, this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. But,
yeah, no, what can I say? The show, it had a ton of promise, and I wish that, like, there was just no episodes of anything where I was just like, yeah, that's it. That's, like, that's them getting it right. I'm going to say, I was disappointed. First season was better. Watch that. There's no real episode I would consider as a highlight. It's very, very short. The season's only 8 episodes long.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was like really, really short and fast. I agree with the other ones where, I mean, even the one where you almost have like a altered carbon type of environment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Where nobody's having children, and if they do have children, the children are exterminated.
Yeah, yeah. Just the forever world that they can live in.
Yeah, which is like, wow, bunch of selfish buggers.
That's the price of their perfect world, right?
But is it really a perfect world?
Not at all. But
it's living above the clouds makes it seem like it's a perfect world, but it's not. Because everything below the clouds is decaying. Yeah. Do you think that's a metaphor?
Yeah, I mean, it's another metaphor of the current world, absolutely, without doubt.
Hmm. Right. So, yeah, so that was our 5 minutes on on that one, because we've got something better to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there was a new show, a new movie that came out by our boy, you know, little Zachy Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what can I say? Army of the Dead. We talked about the trailer earlier, and what can I say? This one was something else. This one was something else entirely.
Yeah, you know what? I enjoyed it. Bones, who does not like anything zombies, she watched it with me because I looked at her and went, I gotta watch it. We're doing a podcast on it. She's looking at me just like,
okay.
I go, we gotta watch it, right? But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. And she enjoyed it too. Like, it was not your, like, horror typical. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's not a typical horror thing at all. And it really gets the stuff right.
Yeah, it does. Because, yeah, the question is, what happens to the animals? Like,
no, so, yeah, so okay, we're being a little jumbled here. Let me go straight to
so
it.
So, why don't you go through it? Yeah. Because I do have questions.
Yeah, so Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Spoilers, guys.
Spoilers came out just this Friday. We do our normal taping on Saturday, so we watched it over the last day. I've seen it twice now. I had to watch it with my brothers, and then I watched it with my mother like earlier today. And just going through it, it very basically, I want to be very careful with what I say because I do enjoy a lot of this movie, right? There's one thing that I just don't like, and it sort of like just drives me to like madness. Right, but that being said, this movie is unique, right? It's a zombie movie that takes those old zombie tropes, new zombie, fast zombie tropes, intelligent zombie, like, you know, it mixes a whole bunch of stuff together in really cool and interesting ways.
Right.
Right. It really like you know brings us closer to like an understanding of these characters, of like this world. This world is very unique in how it sort of examines issues and everything else around it. I really enjoyed this story. But yeah, it's fundamentally what it is that, you know, in the aftermath of a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, caused by the US military, because always, what's it called? The city is walled off, and right before they're going to nuke the city, a group of individuals who were part of the evacuation of the city are going to go back in, bust into it, grab $200 million under the, you know, that's under the strip, and then, you know, make their money and get out. Right? Very, very simple plot, heist film during a zombie apocalypse. I wish the movie was that simple. Right? There's a lot more going on in the movie. There's a lot, you know, like there's portrayals, there's changes, there's, you know, it's very fast paced. There's like the timeline shifts, you know, the like I wish it was more about the heist than what it really was. It really didn't, you know, wasn't all about the heist. But the stuff that, you know, some of the extra stuff that adds to it was really good. I loved everything involving what's it called? I loved everything involving
The zombies?
yeah, the zombies and their structure, their hierarchy, their society. All of it was very
Yeah.
interesting.
So, does that mean that? So, you know, zombie means like they've died and now they've been resurrected, right? And they're just, they're, but the body itself is decaying and stuff like that, right? But it seems like they went one step beyond, right? Because it's not, I didn't see the whole lot of decay that's happening with the bodies,
There really isn't.
right? And then the queen of, there is a queen of the zombies, guys. The queen of the zombies and the king of the zombies.
Yeah, no spoilers. Just keep that one. That was weird. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay.
What the shit, bro? You can tell Zack that's actually a plot in Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, so you can see he's recycling some of those ideas that were really weird even back then.
Right. It was really weird. You know, the zombies are, they're somehow being able to become more cohesive. And there is a hierarchy.
Yeah, so
I
like,
don't think that's necessarily spoiler, right?
yeah, the trailer shows that there's hierarchy and that they're different. And what we definitely see, and it's more of like in the world, you have like the thing that caused the outbreak, and all the things that it, you know, turned became this alpha,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I believe the zombie is called Zeus, right? Like the main one.
Yeah, but I didn't know what name they gave him.
Yeah,
They
so.
don't call him Zeus.
Yeah, so but I believe he's Zeus. Like he models himself after
Right.
that. but yeah, so like the general idea is like, you know, the Zeus creates like these alpha zombies which are smart and intelligent, quick and fast, but they create all the regular shambler slow zombies. So that's how you get, you know, that's how you get your cake and eat it too, right?
Right.
And so yeah, we have these characters fighting, you know, these different, you know, levels of zombies at different points in the hierarchy. And yeah, like it's very good. It's just there's one huge, horrible thing that like drags it all the way down.
Yeah.
And quite simply, what it is it's the plot line involving Batista's character Scott Ward, his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That and like the entire sequence with her, the person that she's trying to save out of the Las Vegas zone, the very fact that like while we're watching, like what the fuck is her plan? Like me and my brothers are like, what is her plan? Like literally, it's like you need to get out of here and you have
Yeah.
no exit strategy.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what is your plan? Like you're not basing on someone else's plan. There's no way that you're able to. It's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I'm just like, oh, but here's the thing. It's one of those zombie movie tropes where there's always a freaking moron, right? The person who goes back for the cat or the dog, you know, like that
Right.
person, the person who risks life and limb for an idea, or it's dumb, right? Meanwhile, everyone else has to die in the process. all of it in consideration. Like that was the thing that dragged, you know, dragged me down. It's the same thing that like in Godzilla versus Kong. You know, Millie Bobby Brown when she was in there. It's like whatever they're doing, this is just dragging me the hell down, right? I want to see more of what I like. Thankfully, there was a lot of what I liked, but there was a lot of that sort of stuff that dragged me down, and it wasn't my favorite. That being said, this is like the definition of like turn your brain off, B movie. You know, see some cool visuals, see some like cool stuff, get into this world, and then just go nuts, right? See the weirdness, see how crazy it is. Batista, you know, giving his A game. The helicopter pilot giving her a game, right? Forever going to be some sort of mechanic.
Okay, so who's your favorite character out of there?
It's hard because, you know, like...
I loved the guy who had to open...
The safe Dieter?
Dieter was hilarious.
So, yeah, there's a couple of them. So, like, Dieter's hilarious, and then the other side of the coin, I really liked Vanderho. Right?
Yeah.
Who becomes like Dieter's unofficial friend.
Yeah. Right? Right. Yeah.
Right? It's like, Vanderho, please, like, explain this to them. And it's like, you see him.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I liked him. I liked, what's it called? Shit. Yeah. Dieter and Vanderho were really like two of some of the best characters in that thing.
There were. I think Teg Notario's character was really good too. She was the pilot.
Yeah, there's a couple like really, really like effed up kills in this movie that really like got me like, oh, what the fuck? I don't want to do any real spoilers, but yeah, just in general, this is like, if I were to give this movie a like A to B rank, this is a B of a film, because there's like some stupid stuff, some subplots that I don't like, but it's also like the B movie that we love. And like, think like this, this is what Netflix is for, right? Giving us cool like B movies that like, you know, deal with like a very, very like thin line of like genre and something cool, you know, giving us like these experimental stuff that we're like, wow, right? Let the studios do their remakes and be safe, right? Like, this is what I want Netflix for. Get me something cool and new.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
I think they delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be perfectly fair, right? It's like, just because Zack Snyder does something doesn't mean that I'm going to like it, you know, 100%. Right? and this one is him really reaching back to his more Dawn of the Dead roots, which is good. You know, there's a few he was his own director of photography on this one, and there's some parts of it which I feel like were very like, you know, he does this very like hyper clarity on whatever's in focus, and then everything is like completely out of focus. He does that a couple times in the movie, just like small little technical stuff that I wanted to point out. And either it, you know, some people are gonna, you know, see that and be distracted, other people are gonna find it very cool. It's all up to you. All in all, what can I say? It was a really fun movie. My thing is like obviously this movie has I want to talk about one thing in particular. This movie has like prequels already, you know, like baked up and ready for this, and it's got
and sequels too.
And it's got sequels all, you know, like getting ready, you know. Like the prequel, like Army of Thieves involving Dieter, the another prequel which is like that entire intro sequence. You know, like, you know, Zack Snyder normally does his musical intro sequences. Yeah. That entire intro sequences introduces a character, right? And then kills that character off. And I'm just like, we're seeing, like, this character from the origin, and that character dies in the intro sequence, and I'm supposed to care about this person.
So, do you think...
That's definitely the prequel series.
Right.
All of... But everything we saw in the
intro. So, the character that dies, do you think it's who I think it is?
Who do you think it is?
Do we say
go ahead.
All right, this might be a potential spoiler, but does she become the queen?
No, she got crushed.
Oh, you're right. Damn it. I forgot about that. Damn it. Ugh.
No, don't worry. That's fine. That's the point, right? That's why we talk about it afterwards. So it's like, all right, clarification. But
I completely, you know what? It was like, not even 2 seconds. Yeah, she was crushed.
Yeah.
How could I have forgotten that?
No, it's just one of those things that it's like there's an entire story there. Like, there's a bunch in this movie that I'm like, you could have done a movie on this and I would have been perfectly fine. You could have done a movie on this and I would have been perfectly fine. You know, it's like there's so much in this movie that I'm like, yeah, you should really, like, do that.
So here's the thing is, right? The Vegas becomes run with zombies. And they... coordinate off, but it runs you know, in, you know, it becomes overrun with zombies because, as you know, there's an accident, the zombie dude was being transported and he gets out. And, you know, it's right on the outskirts of Vegas. That's how Vegas happens, right? But they must have gotten him from somewhere. So does that mean that they eliminated the threat from the Dawn of the Dead?
So
where do you think they got him from?
So one of the things is...
Is that a prequel?
So it could be a prequel, but in the start of the movie, they're transporting him from Area 51.
Oh, it's Area 51.
Yeah. That's why they say the Holy Grail of things in the Holy Grail.
Oh, I did not make that connection. Okay. Yeah,
they're in Nevada, so it's Groom Lake facility, so Area 51. Right? They are transporting him. He has military dog tags on. He is inside of a thing. I think it's a military experiment.
Okay. Right, because part of the thing was they wanted, because he was their prime, he was their own specimen, right?
Exactly.
So what happened? So here's the thing, though, Chris. What happened to all the zombies from Dawn of the Dead?
You know, this is a spiritual sequel, not a direct sequel.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right. So now he's creating a new world.
Essentially.
With the Army of the Dead.
Because Dawn of the Dead didn't really have any of this sort of intelligence stuff or... Or anything like that.
Right, well, so. But I thought they might have, you know, gone ahead and, like,
evolved. Dawn of the Dead was a remake of a George Romero film, and so this is his own, like, his own take on it. And so, yeah, I want to see more on it. I want to see, definitely.
I do, too. So, here's the thing. I like the dialogue. I always, always love his music choice. I mean, he, you know, picks up the... He adds the best music... you know, accompaniments to his movies. His soundtracks are always amazing, in my opinion. So I'm really looking forward to us getting more of these type of movies. I enjoyed it. I thought the, you know, even the dialogue between the characters, they were funny. The characters themselves were good.
Depending on how this does, we might see, like, in the future, like a $200 million, $300 million, you know, five picture, whatever deal.
Do we know how much he got, how much was spent on this and how much was received?
Actually, let me do what a little was the research budget on that. But that's a good thing. What is the budget on Army of the Dead?
Yeah. And so because it's gone direct, it's Netflix, right? And streaming. So the question is, how is Netflix going to determine if they got their money's worth?
It weren't quite cheap. It's only 70 to 90 million.
You're kidding. That's it?
Yeah, I mean, the cost of this was just the effects budget on the Snyder Cut.
Wow.
Yeah, they did a lot with as much as that they had.
So can you imagine if he had complete creative control, what he could have done with... Dawn of Justice and any sequels, if they just, like, let him do what he can do? Because I think you've said it before, Chris, too, right? One of the major pluses with Zack Snyder and his team is that they consistently come under budget or on budget.
Yeah, it's one of those things that they're able to, that Snyder is well known for, is that he comes in under budget and under time, right?
And under time, yeah.
You know, and so that's why Snyder was very, very effective for them, is that he finds, you know, he comes from a visual effects background initially, right? Yeah. He has some visual effects understanding. He's able to, you know, film for it to make the visual effects process, you know, more streamlined and easier.
Right.
He pioneered a lot of, like, early green screen to where it is now, like, you know, using shades, using, you know, getting the color correction right. You know, like, all of that. He's really good at the art design. He is that definition of the visual filmmaker. And the visuals are on him in this one. And, yeah, he tells a very cool mythology of the universe. I wish that... I want more in the universe. And yeah. Prequels aren't going to do it. I think it's fair to say that prequels are not going to do it all the way. With the way this film ends, very, very, very clearly, it's like, all right, where's the sequel?
Yeah.
And what's the sequel going to be about? I have my own theories. This is
gonna I
be
have two theories.
Okay, so all right, let's go to a rating slash review, and then let's talk about theories about that ending.
All right, maybe my two theories are gonna come up 1 to 3. But yeah, let's. What are we giving a rating out of?
I'm gonna say this very, very simply. This is an 8 out of 10. It's a good movie, you know, fun movie, and yeah, just watch it. You know, enjoy it for you know, it's a zombie film. Right, so don't like try to. I hate when people try to elevate something as grotesque as a zombie film. Try to maintain what it is, which is fundamentally campy action. If there's maybe one small critique is that this movie is not campy as you think it would be, right? but it's still pretty campy. So all in all, just yeah, excellent film. This is an 8 out of 10 for me.
Yep. I'm going to agree with you. I agree with your comments. I'm going to add to it that, yes, it's a zombie movie. You expect it to be gross and disgusting and scary. It wasn't in that sense. And so that what that means is a lot more people can watch it and enjoy it. It's right. So I think the character relationships, there were, you know, in such a short span, they were able to develop them, and you I don't know, I got invested with some of them pretty fast for coming across them just in this movie. And I think that's always a good sign of how well the storytelling has been, is when you're able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so all in all, you would same score as me. Now yep. On to the ending specifically. Vanderho survives the atomic explosion. Huge spoilers, the atomic explosion in Vegas. He's able to get out with the money, right? Get onto a plane, and then notices that he's bit.
Okay, right. So here's the thing is, Bones was like, how's that possible? So you would think, okay, at least 24 hours have passed since he got bit, right?
Yeah.
From the fight and everything and him being able to escape. So you think about that and think about everybody else who's turned into zombies. They turn within like, I don't know, hours, not even.
Yeah, fairly.
Right? Quickly. Right. So that's just it. They turn fairly quickly. He didn't. So mine is because there was an atomic blast that probably heated everything up. And as your body starts because remember, they're checking for temperature, right? In the beginning to see if you're warm or if you're cold or your body temperature is going down. Because your body temperature is going down, it might mean that you have the virus. So it could be that because he was in a radiated area, there was that heat which prevented whatever virus, zombie virus was in him to spread. And but as he got further away and got into cooler environments, that's when he started feeling the effects of it and the virus started to take hold. That's what I think. Okay, that's my theory. It might be like,
okay, yeah, there's something there. I'm gonna throw a little something that I saw.
Okay.
Which is mainly because I saw the symbol and I was like, what the shit, like that's, is that a Justice League reference? And then I put two together. On Vanderho's chest, he has a brand, right? Specifically, the brand is an Omega symbol, right? Zeus creates alphas, right? That means he is the Omega, right? Yeah. This guy, I think, has taken his place as the Omega.
Yeah, I do think so. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
That he and may so, have.
Yeah, the reason why it's slow is because, like, the Omega turns... The way the Omega is that it's very... Like, the Omega is very much, like, you know, still, like, tough and strong and jacked, right? He's not emaciated by any sense.
Right.
That's the thing about these zombies, is that they look like...
So, hang on. Are you saying, like, right. It was on his on the skin of his chest, the Omega? Yeah. I didn't see... I don't think we saw it in his chest.
We see it in the... When he grabs his little circular saw. He's got an Omega symbol on his chest.
Oh, okay. So it was already there.
Yeah.
So that's projecting out that he's going to survive and become...
An Omega, right? It's like
an Omega.
Yeah, it's like because everyone... Like, they make it very clear. Like, everyone else...
He's their dark side.
Yeah. Is an Alpha. Everyone else is like this Alpha, right? So, And you know, the Omega creates the Alphas, and so we have this guy who's going to be in a similar position. Otherwise, all he does is he creates an army of Shamblers, which can be easily beaten.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like this right. is about the other side of the thing, which is now we're going to have.
And then I think Dave Bautista's daughter, she's going to be the one who goes up against him. Definitely. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely possible.
Oh, the other thing is they're going to Mexico City. So that was the other thing. They're going to Mexico City, which is, again, what? A very hot place.
Yeah, very hot, densely populated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, who knows, like, how will it be, right? Like, you know, like, these two very hot locations. It might be because it's just, like, ease of, like, of filming around L.A. Right?
You mean Las Vegas?
Well, like, it's Las Vegas, but they clearly filmed in L.A., right? They
just right.
Like, it's just, like, they're able to mimic a lot of the environments easily enough. So, yeah, no, yeah, what can I say? Fun movie. I'm quite happy by it. I'm kind of, like, now depressed because there's not a lot of, like, good stuff coming, you know, coming out. I know, have you watched, say, Organized Crime, SVU, this week?
I haven't watched this week's. So I have the one episode to watch this week, which I want to. I turned on The Nevers. So I was sort of ambivalent about watching it because, you know, it's Josh Whedon. But then I was like, you know, it sucks for everybody else who's involved because, you know, Josh Whedon is such an ass.
Yeah,
why
do they have to refer to
his voices? Right. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do... So I did end up watching it. It was pretty good. And it's so funny is, okay, spoiler alert, guys. It's Chris, I know you started watching or you said you were going to watch it. So maybe we can pick this up next week.
Sure.
But I found it enjoyable. You definitely are wondering what is going on. And, you know, there's a point where you're not even sure you're watching the same show. And, you know, I was reading an article about it and it was like, somebody said the same thing and I was like, oh, thank God. I thought I was the only one because we literally, it went into the next episode and we literally like had looked away like maybe 2 minutes and looked back and we're like, is this the same show? Did we turn to something else? Like, did it just end? And, you know, I had to stop it and it was actually still part of the show, which I thought was like a really interesting twist. I'm not going to tell you it because, again, it's a twist. Mm-hmm. But it's actually not bad. It's got this, the whole, you know, fantastical aspect of, you know, cars in Victorian England and stuff like that, right? But, I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's not like they don't explain why they're able to do that. Everything's a prototype. But I enjoyed it. I don't know if you started watching it. If you haven't, do watch it. And I have one more. I do have that episode to watch with Law and Order, Organized Crime. I ended it with Angela was the one who took out the hit on his wife.
So Organized Crime is something that we both need to catch up on. The Never.
Did you see that episode?
Yeah, I saw the
one. Oh, thank God. I just thought I spoiled it for you. No,
I remember you called me up right after. You called me up right after. He's like, what does this mean? And I'm going to find out what it means soon enough. But yeah, as you were saying, absolutely. I have to watch The Nevers. I have to watch Continue Organized Crime. Handmaid's Tale came out. I'm going to try to get back onto that.
Oh, yeah. I've been like trying to keep my distance from anything which is Handmaid's Tale related because I want to take a look at, I want to watch it, right, without being influenced or anything. But that's always a really difficult show for me to watch. Like, I can't watch it in like one sitting or binge watch it. I have to take it in small doses because it's like so.
Yeah, it's just
horrific for me.
It's like the definition of hard to watch.
Yeah, but dude, I am like starting to. you know, what I can watch. It's like there isn't enough things that I can watch because, you know, I'm such a prolific watcher or viewer. Right. And so I just started Deep Space Nine all over again. Although, confession, I didn't watch all of Deep Space Nine the first time with the Dominion and stuff like that. So I'm going to watch it all the way through.
Yeah, my brothers recently just got through that. And yeah, it's like, I think the one thing we tried to do was start Voyager and then we quit.
Voyager, I think, is the least appealable of all of them. I never, you know, I never really got into Voyager. I think I might have seen their first season, but after that I didn't. But Deep Space Nine, you know, it was interesting, and we continued to build on it. So I've started to watch Deep Space Nine as sort of like a filler. I know there's, did you hear that Dune, they're not going to release it on HBO Max?
Really? Did they make that?
Yeah, they made that announcement. They made that determination. I think they said that Dune was no longer going to be released on HBO Max.
Ooh, that's kind of bad. They said it would originally would be.
Right, but I think with vaccinations happening... hang on. Sorry. So it looks like they are saying that they're flipping back to, yeah, it'll be released on HBO Max again. Because earlier in the week, they had said that they were not going to to do that.
Yeah, I think they were trying to test it out, see what it was like. But people were like, no, you said this is what we were getting with HBO Max. This is why we subscribed.
Yeah. Yeah. So the release, May 17th is when they had said that Dune was no longer expected to go day and date on HBO Max. But then it looks like this week they had to backtrack and say no, we're gonna do it, and they're gonna open it on October 1st. I'm pretty sure we're gonna go see it in the theater and then we're gonna see it on HBO Max, just knowing how we are. You know, and he's a great filmmaker too.
Yeah, just what can I say, it's just, this is one of those clear examples of, you know, just in general, like, we as consumers, we were very, very happy with like some of this sort of stuff. I mean, we wanted to see these movies. We didn't want them to be continually pushed back, and we're running out of entertainment. HBO needed subscribers, and so they put out this great deal. They gave us Snyder Cut, right? Like, that's what we're doing. I mean, right now, like, AT&T is doing some really powerful power play moves involving HBO, Warner Brothers, and, you know, the Discovery merger.
Yeah.
Right? So... The full impact of how that's going to apply is going to really be in focus later. So, yeah, I'm happy that they changed their mind on this, that they floated the idea and then saw it was so thoroughly, like, you know, everyone so thoroughly was against it. You know, just in general, we need to ensure that, you know, it's like we as consumers, you know, it's like HBO Max's value is particularly that, it's particularly... The day and day, you know, movie releases, you know, right. Because like, it was like, what are the big HBO Max sort of important releases, right? It was, you know, like, it started off with, you know, I would argue really like the big releases would have started off with, say, something like, the Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
The Little Things. Judas and the Black Messiah, Snyder Cut, Godzilla vs. Kong, right? Like, they're doing some really, really, you know, big plays by taking their theatrical films and putting them on HBO Max, right?
And, right.
And, like, Disney Plus has to do the same thing, right? Because on Disney Plus, you know, they're releasing Black Widow, a movie that's been perennially moved back because, you know, like, their entire, like, universe is hitting like this, you know, little clock, and they need to have, you know, whatever events from, you know, Black Widow to make sense. All in all, you know, I'm happy that Dune is still going to be coming. I'm personally going to watch Dune in the theaters, but I, you know, who knows what it's going to be like in December. You know, if we get a freaking variant that, you know, screws over.
Well, I think it's supposed to come out in October, dude.
Yeah, well, there you go, even, like, closer. So, like, who knows what theaters are going to be like. I mean, I watched one movie in theaters all of last year. I watched that same movie, like, six times in theaters, but I watched one.
Right.
Right? Which
one? Right.
Yeah, no, actually, in 2020, I watched two movies. That's unfair. I watched Birds of Prey and then Tenet. And those were months apart.
Well, we watched Tenet together. Yeah. You were like, you know, we got to watch Tenet. So I'm like, okay. But, yeah, I think that was the only one that I watched in a theater was Tenet.
Yeah. Just, yeah, so in general, I can't wait for the new theater. I can't wait to get back.
Did you by any chance watch Jupiter's Legacy? I
have not seen it yet.
I have not put it on because I've watched like some. Yeah, I have, unfortunately.
Especially it's like, is that a horrible thing for me to say? With like, you know, like, you know, like a dude with white hair and a beard. It's like, okay. Like, here's the thing. I believe it's a Mark Millar comic, and so, you know, that's very much the Kick-Ass and the Kick-Ass Kingsman style of, like, you know, of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
this Mark Millar type, you know, very heavy-handed in what it's trying to tell. So, you know, it might be good. My brothers watched it, but they didn't really have anything, like, you know, they didn't recommend it to me or anything like that. So If I'm really desperate for content, right, I might turn it on. Otherwise, you know, just gotta push forward with the stuff that I do have to watch, you know.
Like what?
Definitely trying to get back. Like, Handmaid's Tale is the big one that I'm waiting on because I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going, but it's such a heavy show that I dread trying to turn it on, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, yeah, I told you, I can only watch it in like small little periods of time. Like, I can't watch it for long periods because it's like very difficult. And I'm trying to stay away from anything that's coming up. You know, the one that I think has not been doing really well in terms of content, and that would be Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Amazon, they have some the great shows, The Boys and stuff like that. But yeah, no, Amazon Prime has been doing really, really shitty with its content, especially because a lot of its major shows haven't really been able to come out. I mean, you know, Marvelous Miss Maisie and you know all the other stuff that we're sort of waiting on.
Yeah. Did you know that Teen Titans, their second part of it, they've already got a release late date. I know that's for HBO Max. That's coming out. I don't have time frames of exactly when it's going to happen, but I know that they've started on that again. I think it's really, I think we're moving towards a period of time when there isn't going to be a lot of fun, exciting things happening.
Yeah. You know, we're getting there.
You know what? Oh my God. Chris, this is supposed to be our happy place, and I feel like I'm just getting like depressed in terms of content.
Yeah, because like, it's like, because after this, we're sort of in a dry spell. Like, after this, like, all of our major stuff that we were looking forward to sort of like chills out. I mean, like, the closest thing might be like Ted Lasso.
Right? Is he coming back?
Yeah, there's season two.
When's season two supposed to come out?
I think June or July.
We don't have, yeah, you're right. Its release date is July 22nd. So we've got like a full month before anything like that happens.
Mm-hmm. We got tons of time in between.
Yeah. Fortunately, like, I can't think of anything that would be comparable to it.
Who knows? Like, if Lower Decks comes out, new season of that, Star Trek Discovery, maybe Picard. Yeah. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm waiting for. I just, like the glut of the stuff that we were, like, all right, the big stuff is coming out, right? You know, like, our right. big sort of stuff, which was, you know, Snyder Cut, Godzilla, Mortal Kombat, and then this.
Right.
That's set now it's like it, like I don't know what the next big HBO Max release is. Like I'm waiting on Dune, but and maybe the Suicide Squad.
I think that's coming out, and I haven't heard, but they were going to do the same thing with that, right? Release it on HBO Max as well as
Matrix 4, but that's way later in the year.
I think that's October or November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, but what can I say?
I enjoy. Oh, A Quiet Place is coming out, but that I think is strictly theaters.
Strictly theaters, and I don't care.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
I didn't like the first one. I didn't like A Quiet Place.
Really? Why?
No, it's just not my sort of thing. It's like, it's a movie where the gimmick is that the actors aren't allowed to talk, so they have to emote in other ways, right? It's like, okay, so it's a movie about it's a movie that surrounds itself with an acting gimmick rather than a story gimmick.
Okay.
Right, because it's the same story. It's just, you know, they're being chill about it, right? They're, you know. I thought it was okay. It's not something that I was like I need a sequel, I need a prequel, right. I need to know how this happened. That never crossed my mind. So
yeah, I have to say that I know Black Widow's coming out. I think it's coming out in the theater, although maybe they might be releasing it on Disney. I'm not sure.
They are.
Loki. Oh, they are. Okay. And Loki's coming out. I don't know exact date that Loki's going to come out.
Loki is another one. So, like, you know, that looks good, but who knows, man? These Marvel shows have not been sticking it with the endings.
Yeah, that's true. But can they really go that bad?
I don't think they can go that bad, but, this is a Loki who's not part of the main timeline, so he gets to act. The last thing I want is, like, a retread of a character that we already know. Right, it's like I don't want to see Loki become good again. He was already good, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it's just that sort of small stuff. We'll see how they're able to handle it, where they're going to take it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think on that note, there are some things that are happening, coming out, but not a whole lot. Watch the Nevers, because then we can discuss it next week, Chris. Mm-hmm. Because I did enjoy it. This is not me supporting Josh Whedon. This is me supporting the actors, but I sort of did. And, I've got a bunch of things that I want to, that I want to watch, in terms of like some animation stuff. Like I want to see Young Justice. I'd seen the first two seasons. There's season three that I haven't been able to, so I'm going to watch all three of them.
One last piece of news before we go off. You know that game Injustice?
Yeah.
They're making an animated movie out of it.
What? No way.
And yeah, Injustice really is like one of the biggest, like, sort of thematic, not references, but like sort of inspirations that fit into the Snyderverse of DC. So yeah, I'm incredibly excited for that.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm excited about that too, because you know me. I like all things DC animation. Yeah. I think that DC does such a superior job when it comes to animation. I'm, you know what? That is going to be really cool. Okay, cool.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Well, on that note, we thank you all for joining us. Really appreciate you taking your time this fun day to tune in. And on that note, we cannot what?
You can't stop the signal, guys. See ya.
All right. See ya. Bye.